Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I am in the Turks and Caicos as we speak, or I should say in transit too. So we are recording today's show, but don't go anywhere because we got a lot to cover, a lot of cool stuff to share with you today, including the backstory for Reef Safe Sun Care Products. You know, this company, we've been working with them for the last few years. They've become quite popular as a sunscreen that divers can use that biodegrades and doesn't harm the reef. And if you didn't think that was a problem, well, think again. It does, and so much, in fact, that there's more and more companies claiming to be reef safe with their sunscreen and attacking our friends at Reef Safe. So we're going to delve into that a little bit today on the show. That's coming up with Dan from Tropical Seas, the company that makes Reef Safe. But up first, we got to talk about not only our upcoming trip in the Turks and Caicos, but also where he's been and how much trouble he's got me into. And that would be Phil Narcosis, who is on via the web right now. Phil, how are you, buddy?
I am doing so good. Greetings from West Palm Beach. I'm so excited. Where do we begin? Do we talk about where I've been diving recently or where we're going to dive? You know, you taught me not too long ago that your favorite place to dive, Greg, is where? The next place you're going, right?
Absolutely. And that will be the Turks and Caicos. And we're going to cover that extensively as we broadcast from the boat of the Turks and Caicos to explore live aboard next week. Full show from the deck of the boat. So stay tuned for that. But however, you've been diving in West Palm, and we're going to get to that in just a bit. But let's start with how you got me in trouble, Phil Narcosis. You, meanie, you. Because I'm blaming you. Because, you know, a couple weeks ago,
Tell me what happened.
We got this email from a guy named Jeff who basically took me to task and said, hey, you had this guy on who just dove in California, and all you guys did was whine about how cold it was, and you'd never go again. You guys suck. Okay, maybe I'm paraphrasing just a tad there, Phil. But he took us to task for it, and you know, I read his email back on the air, and I said, look, we've talked about cold water diving. I love all types of diving, and am I a little bit of a warm water wuss? Absolutely.
It was full disclosure. I mean, I admitted I'm a warm water wuss just like you. So, you know, I'm looking through my logbook. I was in the Channel Islands and Catalina Island, you know, in Southern California. Took two different liveaboards there. And the water, I'm looking at the water temperature, 61 mm-hmm. degrees.
Right.
Now, I did have, not only did I have a 7 mil, but then I had a 3 mil, what do you call that, like a bib?
Okay.
With a hood on it. Mm-hmm. And then my gloves were useless, so I had to rent 5 mil gloves.
Right, right.
And, you know, and then the visibility was 15 feet. But you know what? I had a great time, and it was a blast. And meeting people who are also diving on the liveaboard, and you make friends that way. And guess what we talked about, Greg?
Where? Well, what's that?
We talked about going to warm water places to dive.
Well, yeah, okay. And I understand that. That's what I was trying to talk about then. We weren't knocking the diving in California. I think you made a comment that you weren't impressed with the viz. And, you know, that varies day to day and no matter where you are. But you can dive locally. And I've never said don't dive locally. You have to dive locally. But you know, for a warm water wuss like myself, and you belong to that club as well.
I'm in that club.
Do we prefer higher visibility and warmer water and no wetsuits at all? Hell yeah. Of course we do.
But we love diving. And you know what? The kelp forest was definitely, you got to check the kelp forest off the box. Those were awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see... you see things you don't see. Any, you see the underwater, basically the underwater mountain and rock formations that you know were established, you know, millions, if not 100 million years ago. So
right.
There's a lot going on there. The we saw rays, we saw eagle rays, we saw I saw a small octopus, mm-hmm. actually eels,
right,
and even a clown and something that looked like an anemone fish, but it wasn't.
What, like a Garibaldi fish? The orange, bright orange ones?
That was it.
Yeah, the Garibaldis. Absolutely. You know, I'm very familiar with the California diving and the critters they have, the sea lions, seals, whatever. Yeah. And it's cool. I've done it. I used a heated rash guard to deal with the colder water under a like 5 mil wetsuit, and I was fine. That was good. So it is about having the proper equipment. It is about the diving that you have available to you locally, and you should do that. You know, you really don't have any other choice unless you're filthy rich like Phil Narcosis can just travel the world at a drop of a bucket and go. But Jeff, you know, I explained my feeling about it, and since then a lot more people have emailed us and said, yes, we understand what you're saying, Greg. You know, but cold water diving is good. Don't write it off. I've never written it off. I've just said, you know, in my list or my bucket list of dive sites and diving places to go, the cold water sites have a tendency to filter down the list. You know, just for me personally, that I'm not knocking it.
Is it a fair statement that Scuba Radio will probably not do one of its trips in the Channel Islands of California?
No, that's not true at all, because I would absolutely love that. I love,
the Send me a postcard, Greg. No.
No, the Channel Islands, our buddies out there in Santa Barbara, Force Fins and stuff, they've invited me out there. It's logistics more than anything else. But Catalina Island off the coast, you know, right off of Long Beach or whatever in L.A. area, I mean, that is a cool place. I definitely want to go
there.
And,
you know, it's the headquarters of Aqualung. So there's obviously a important and large dive culture out there.
Absolutely. The record, the warm water wuss references, I belong to that club. Phil belongs to that club. We're not knocking cold water diving. And if we are, blame Phil, not me. Okay?
I'll take the blame for it.
And Cassandra's backed me up this week on it, and she made a few comments about the same thing and pretty much reiterated what I was saying last week with John Hott, who was telling us about some of the lobster diving that they have in California and some of the videos that we steered some people towards. But that basically is, do we love going to the Caribbean and having, you know, air clear visibility and warm Gym water clear. And no, you know, no wetsuits necessary, that kind of thing? Of course we do. But, you know, you don't want to overlook what you have locally, and it may be colder. The viz may not be as good. But, hey, look, any day underwater is better than a day at the office or just
Absolutely.
On the surface.
Amen, so, brother. Amen.
So just so we're clear. And we've, you know, covered that.
And it's my fault. We're clear, and it's my fault.
That's right.
I see why you have me on the show.
Exactly. You're taking the fall today, my friend.
All right.
That's what happens.
I can handle it.
Well, I'll take you to the Turks and Caicos next week, and I'll buy you a drink because the drinks are free. How about that?
I can't wait.
On the level board. Yeah. All right. And we'll talk about that in just a bit. Phil's going to be on it. And actually, that'll be our first big dive adventure together, I believe, won't it, Phil?
You know what? We've been talking now, and I've been telling you where I've been traveling for over a year now on the show, and we've never dove together. Or is it dive, dove? What is that? I don't know what the vernacular is.
You know,
is
in the
that.
Very beginning of Scuba Radio, I've heard that you've always supposed to say you've dived. Together.
Dived. We've and never it, dived together.
And that you're not you're not supposed to say dove. That's not proper.
Okay. So the queen would not approve of dove.
That is what I've been told, but I don't know.
You know,
that
I think I agree with that.
That wasn't a queen or anything.
So I'm really looking forward to
diving.
You know, really diving and bonding with everybody and I know there's others that are going to be there from the show, and it's just going to be a really great time. We're going to have a wonderful, safe time.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in detail coming up here in just a bit. But since our last conversation where, you know, you got me into trouble with this California diving, you've been down to West Palm, your home base of operations, and been doing some, they specialize in drift diving through the...
Yeah, you know, it's a drift dive, situation here, and... last week it was so ripping. It's always a north current, and it was so ripping. We heard on the another boat radio that it was they measured 3.5 knots at depth.
And that's the Gulf Stream where it comes close, well, closest to the state of Florida, up there right around Jupiter and West Palm Beach, where he's based. And the plus side of that is you're constantly getting fresh water flushed through the area.
So. But it's challenging, and it can be a little dangerous, and had a little situation. Mm. And I was with a guy I don't usually dive with, but it's his boat. We were on a private boat, and I was running lower on air. And he actually saw some lobsters.
You know, all right, hold on. Hold the phone, Phil Narcosis. I love where he's going with this. Maybe we'll learn from this little adventure here coming up as we talk about some more drift diving there in West Palm Beach with our buddy Phil. Next, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Warm water, cold water, hot water, we don't care as long as you're underwater.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Ariel, you're under a lot of pressure down here.
Scuba diver in the lock.
Man, I wish I could really drive this thing.
Speedboat driver on the dock.
Well, here. Okay, turn on the ignition.
Sailplane pilot in the blue. Take me up there with you. The world looks brighter from this high altitude.
Awesome.
There are sailboats throughout this brilliant sky, but you cannot pick them out if you can't fly. I'm glad the earth doesn't care if I go up. Just ask me and I'll take you along.
And we will be broadcasting next week from a boat, a liveaboard boat, thanks to our friends at Explore Ventures. Also joining us, Dive Training Magazine, Catherine Castle, who's the editor-in-chief of that fine publication. Renee from Scuba Pro is going to be on board. And, of course, we got the Scuba Cowboy, Mermaid Tiffany. And if that weren't enough, Phil Narcosis is going to be on the boat with us. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a bit. But first, we got to talk about his home base of operations where he dives day in and day out. And that would be West Palm Beach, the drift diving capital of the world, as they say. Right, Phil?
That's what we call it. You know, I talk to people and they just don't even know. And it's incredible because we really do have, in my opinion, and I've been to a lot of places, and I'm not, you know, pushing it. I don't get paid to say anything, but the truth is, you know, I was in Egypt this year. I've been in Micronesia. I've been in Fiji. I've been Maldives. I've been all through the Caribbean. But I love coming back here to Palm Beach County to drift dive and to scuba dive, and primarily because it is drift diving, and, you know, it's got that adrenaline additive about the diving, where you're along on the racetrack or like an astronaut flying through space, and you don't know what's going to happen next. You know
what
I'm
saying? That's true. You know, years of my diving career were in West Palm. You know, we're based in Orlando, and we'd go down to West Palm and do all our checkout dives and hunt for lobster, do night dives, whatever the case may be, throughout the summer especially. And I'm very familiar with the routine of the drift dives. And you get spoiled on a drift dive because the boat follows you. And as long as you don't lose the lead diver who's holding the dive flag,
I have a story about the dive flag.
I'm with
Nick, who I don't usually dive with, but it's his boat. We're on a private boat.
Okay.
And so he's a hunter, and I a spear hunter, but he also hunts lobster. So where the current was about 3.5 knots that day, which is really exceptionally high. That's about probably the worst current I've ever been with, or the best, depending on how you look at it.
Right.
So I'm running a little. I've got like we're at like 70, 80 feet. I've got like 800 psi left. You know, it's time for me to bounce. I signal to Nick. He's like points in the hole, and there's like 8 lobster, you know, in the hole, and he's like points at the lobster. So I'm okay. But he's got the dive ball. He actually has it hooked off, you know, while he can go hunting. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I've got my own safety marker buoy, and you know what, and on a reel. And if that one ever, something happens, I've got a backup in my pocket. So I believe in redundancy. So I deploy my own safety marker buoy at depth at, say, 70 feet with about 800 PSI left. I'm going along and slowly going up. Next thing I know, I realize that our lines are crossed and stuck and caught. And he's hooked off, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't even realize it. So his line is stationary and won't move. And the current is ripping, and this sensation starts pulling me up. My watch starts making screaming at me for going up too fast. So I realize I got to let out more lines so I don't get pulled up.
Right.
So meanwhile, and then all these things go through your head. Should I let go of it? If I let go of it, I have my backup, but my backup's in my pocket. Do I have enough time? Mm-hmm. I don't like that reel. All these things are going through. And then as I'm thinking all these things, and actually it was spinning me around a little bit, physically getting spin around from the tie, from the knot, all of a sudden, snap.
Ooh. Boom.
The rope, his line snapped.
Oh, wow.
And all of a sudden, I'm free. And he had, of course, he had a backup, so he deployed. Everything's fine. Everything turned out fine. So it's his boat. He's 70. You know, he's 78. He's been diving since Aqualung was invented.
Nice.
He does. Now, if he listened to this show, I'm a goner. But he does not know. He thinks the line snapped because of the current. We don't want to tell him because he's a little older, and he's grouchy. And
you didn't want to tell him that you crossed his line because you think he would make you walk the plank or something, or what?
You know, just we want to keep everything nice and just keep everybody happy. And, you know, all's well that ends well. But, you know, I feel that's on me a little bit. I think I should have had better situational awareness to realize that there's another line that I cannot allow myself to be tangled up with someone else. I think that's on me in that case. But you know, you learn from these situations.
As long as
you're learning, you know what they say about that. There's bold divers and there's old divers, but there's no old bold divers, right?
Correct. Yes.
So there you go. That's my story.
Uh huh. Well, I mean, you know, you got to be aware. Situational awareness, I guess, would be the issue associated with that. But in that type of scenario, honestly, he stopped and anchored his flag But you kept just drifting with the current. You didn't want to hang out with him at the point.
Well, I signed off. I pointed to my watch.
Yeah,
which was the air.
Said, I'm gonna go.
And then point up. And he pointed down in the hole, like saying, like,
lobster.
I'm staying here. Yeah, you know, these hunters, you know, will go very low on their air if it, you know, when something comes up like that. So
right. Well, now in a scenario like that, one option would have been you just follow his line up and use his line as an ascent.
Oh, no, that is not an option because the current was so ripping.
Okay.
I would have blown right off the line.
Ah, okay,
so,
gotcha.
A lot of times with experienced divers, there's, you know, we allow ourselves to separate at the end of the dive. Like if one guy's low on air, like he'll go up, I'll stay down, or vice versa.
And, right. Well, Phil, you're a dive master, instructor, or what? What are you?
Yeah, I am a dive master, and I never did the school thing, but I would like to. Are you a teacher?
I am a dive instructor, absolutely.
Yeah,
though, you know, you want to stick with the dive master moniker because chicks dig it more than, hey, I'm a dive instructor. Oh, yeah, whatever. Hey, I'm a dive master. Ooh.
I even have a lapel pin. You know, I was traveling this weekend visiting family, and I had to wear a fancy suit for one of the occasions, and in my lapel I have instead of an American flag, which I often wear, I also wear my dive master pin.
Of course you do. Like I said, it's a chick magnet, and take my word for that. It's just sometimes
they can go on YouTube and under Phil Narcosis and go to my channel Phil Narcosis and see all this wonderful dive experience, dive adventures that I've been doing really for years, but more all the recent stuff from the summer is on there too.
Absolutely. And we're going to continue to talk about some of that and more next, especially some experiences he can expect to see in the Turks and Caicos. That's coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Phil Narcosis is on the line with me via the web right now. And we will
be
together in the Turks and Caicos on the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2 Liveaboard next week. You have never been to the Turks and Caicos. Am I right there, Phil?
I have never been there, and I'm looking forward to it. I've actually read some of the reviews on what's the name of the liveaboard company?
Explorer Ventures, exploreventures.com, the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Hello?
Am I fired?
No. You haven't been on the boat yet. You'll get it down by the end of next week.
I went to their website, Explorer Ventures, and I went to the captain's log or the description and read, and man, it's not too far from Florida, but it is a different, I'll call it a different water column from what I've been reading. I mean, it's
absolutely.
got walls and so on. So I couldn't be more excited. We're just going to, what is it? Eat, sleep, and dive, right?
That's all we got to do. And, you know, it's a tough gig, but someone's got to do it. And we have signed up for that honor. So, the Turks and Caicos, especially this time of year, known for just exceptional visibility. Really nice warm water, and basically the scenery is going to be like a Corona commercial. So, you know, if that sounds appealing to you.
Are you talking about the mermaids or the diving?
Well, a little bit of both. We combine the two. So, we got Mermaid Tiffany to represent in that regard. But as far as the little sand spits of land that they have scattered around Providenciales, we're going to be taking the boat around. It's just beautiful scenery. And, I don't know. I can't rave enough about it.
I've traveled, as you know, and I've done the land diving trips and I've done the liveaboards. And, You know, if somebody's really an avid diver that's going to a place not to sit around at a pool with a drink with an umbrella in it, but to dive and then just relax in the night, you basically do what, two dives in the morning, you have lunch, you
up
do
to
breakfast.
Five
you
do dives a day we can do.
That's just where it's at right there.
You're going to love it. I have no doubt, and you'll hear all about it next week. Coming up, we're going to talk to Dan from ReefSafe and how they've come up with this cool sunscreen that not only protects you from the sun, but protects the reef as well. That's coming up.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Scuba Radio safety tip number 33. Remember, everything underwater appears about 25% larger when looking through a dive mask.
Hey, this is great, man.
Stop looking there. Stop looking there.
I want to be just like you.
Stop that!
I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
Ooh, you're sick. So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And here with us today, Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. I have a question today, Nick. I think you're just the man to answer it to.
Well, I'll do my best.
What if you were the dive leader of a group and you had to coordinate an emergency evacuation? What would a person have to know?
Wow, what a great question. That's a scenario everyone hopes they never face, but it's a good thing to be prepared to do. Fortunately, there are protocols you can follow just like any other emergency situation. And I'll bet as a dive leader yourself, you already know them.
Well, I hope so, but let's go through it just the same.
Okay, so let's say you had a diver surface in need of assistance. What's the first thing you would do?
Assess the scene, make sure there's no danger to me, and help get the diver out of the water.
Good. You are absolutely right that the first step is to assess the scene. And a lot of folks forget that in the heat of the moment and end up putting themselves in danger. You really do not want to do anything that would put yourself into harm's way, and it can result in two emergencies to deal with instead of one. So you've assessed the scene. What's next?
Assess the diver in distress and provide basic life support and first aid. Then I'd either dispatch someone to contact emergency services, or if I'm alone, contact them myself.
Excellent. Top of the class. Now let's say an evacuation will be necessary.
Are we on land or out at sea?
Let's start with a land-based scenario.
Am I alone or with a group?
You have other divers on site.
Okay. I've had someone call EMS, so I'm going to have the second person call Dan to help with the assistance. Once we get help mobilized, I'm going to have someone meet the emergency crew at a designated point while I remain with the diver and continue providing first aid.
That is exactly right. Communication is the key in an emergency situation. So when you're calling EMS and Dan, it's important not only to let them know where you are, but where the rendezvous point will be. If you're on a site that can't be accessed by emergency services, you'll need to coordinate with them on how the diver will be transported to a pickup site.
But if you have the option of not moving the diver,
then it's best to stay where you are and let EMS come to you.
Now, what if I'm alone?
Stay in contact with EMS or Dan, whoever you have on the line. Again, communication is key, so stay in contact as much as possible while providing whatever care is needed. If you are alone, you're going to be dealing with a lot all at once, so just remember to tend to the injured person. If the diver needs immediate assistance, whether it's CPR or some other form of first aid, it's okay to tell the emergency contact what's going on and that you'll have to put the phone down. Just keep the connection if at all possible.
I'm also hoping they'll provide some guidance.
And they will. When you contact EMS or Dan, you're contacting experts in dealing with emergency situations. They will be a resource in guiding you through the situation. If nothing else, having them involved reminds you that you are not alone.
Which can mean a lot and keep you from panicking.
Yes, it can.
So what if the emergency isn't at a land-based site? What if you're out at sea?
Any protocol passengers will have to follow on a boat should be established long before it leaves the dock. If you're traveling with a captain and crew, it's unlikely you'll have to take the lead, but you should be prepared to do that just the same.
Okay, let's say I have to take the lead.
The primary steps remain the same. administer basic first aid, and contact emergency services. If you're out at sea, this is likely to be either Dan or the Coast Guard.
How are divers usually evacuated at sea?
It really depends on the situation and the resources at hand. It may be determined that it's best to head the boat back to shore, if conditions are favorable and if that's the fastest way to go. If the emergency dictates it and the resources are available, a watercraft rendezvous or an airlift evacuation may be called into action.
So if you have to coordinate an airlift evacuation?
The first thing you'll have to remember is that the coordination itself will likely be done by the authorities. Whether that's the Coast Guard or the transport Dan arranges. You'll be given instructions on where to be, what steps to take, and what preparations need to be made.
What kind of preparations?
When you're waiting for a helicopter to arrive, you'll need to make sure anything tall that can get in the way is taken down. That may include radar and fishing equipment. The only exception would be equipment that keeps you in contact with the emergency crew, because you'll need to be able to talk to them. Make sure all loose objects are stored so nothing blows around and causes additional injuries.
What about the diver?
Keep the diver as stable as possible. If you're performing CPR, you may not be able to complete the lift, as the time required to complete it is too long an interruption. But assuming the diver is breathing spontaneously on his or her own, keep them quiet and stable, and put them in a personal flotation device. It's strictly a precaution, but an important one. Gather any important medical information as well as anything else, including things like dive profiles and computers, that might be helpful to those providing medical care following the evacuation.
And once the helicopter arrives?
Stay in communication with them and follow their directions. They'll let you know where they need the boat to be, what speed might need to be maintained, and any steps they need you to take.
Who loads the diver into the basket they send down?
In some instances, it might be you. Remember to let the basket touch the deck of the boat before you touch it. A lot of static electricity can be generated as it descends, and it's best to let it discharge first. Move the diver as little as possible as you transfer them into the basket, and once in, secure them, including the oxygen unit and other information you've gathered, and signal the helicopter crew when the basket is ready to raise.
You send the oxygen unit?
Remember that an airlift crew does not perform rescues for divers only, so they may not necessarily have equipment specific to diving injuries. Maybe they have what they needed, maybe not, but it's easy to help on that front.
Will you have to go with them?
That's a conversation to have with a helicopter captain as you're coordinating the rescue. The crew is likely trained in first aid, but if they're unfamiliar with diving injuries, they may agree to have you or some other qualified person come with them. But again, this is a decision for the captain to make, as there are other factors he'll have to take into account. So follow his lead.
Is there anything else we need to know?
Just a reminder that emergency and evacuation protocols should be part of your emergency action plan.
Something I have with me on every dive.
See? You do know what you're doing. I knew it all the time.
We all hope we'll never have to deal with an emergency situation. But in the event you have to oversee one, know what to do. Include evacuation as part of your emergency action plan. And remember that communication is the key. Do that, and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
We are back here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. And, you know, I talked about this earlier, that there are good products out there in the dive industry. And one of the ways you know is how quickly competitors put out their own version of it, right? And, you know, we've experienced that here at Scuba Radio over the years as well. And as flattering as that might be, that people think they can do stuff just like you and maybe even better, it is quite annoying at times, even though you know you're onto something when that happens. And I know my buddy Dan from ReefSafe can relate, and he is on Scuba Radio right now. Dan, how are you, buddy?
Great, Greg. How you been?
I'm good. I'm getting ready to go to the Turks and Caicos, so all is good for sure. But let's talk about some of the issues you've had to deal with. Now, we've just posted a video at scubaradio.com under the Dive News You Can Use section, and it basically is a video that you've had to put out to defend yourself a little bit. Am I right, Dan?
Oh, my goodness, yes. We just get constantly attacked and then even try to copy us with different companies, and innovation seems to be dead. You know, everybody's out there copying everybody.
Yeah. Well, but imitation is the ultimate form of flattery is what they say, but that doesn't make it any less annoying. Are you with
correct.
Me?
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
So we just put out this lab experiment video, and it shows that the effects of titanium dioxide and zinc oxide sunscreens have in our oceans. And it's exactly like littering our oceans with these zinc and titanium sunscreens.
Right.
And then we also compared on this video ReefSafe SPF 30 versus the titanium and zinc 30s. So you've almost got twice the sunscreen protection with the ReefSafe. And I guess the old saying is a picture's worth a thousand words. So this video must be worth 100,000.
Yes.
Because it really gets a point across, and you've seen it.
I have. It's impressive. And once again, you can go to scubaradio.com on the section under dive blogs where it says dive news you can use, and you can see all the information about this and watch the video yourself. But basically, you put in the ReefSafe and you mix it up a little bit into the water, into the seawater, and you see that after a few stirs, it's crystal clear again, which is not the same for the other sunscreen or other products that have that zinc and stuff in it that kind of settle and turn into like a sludge at the bottom of the glass, right?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I'm kind of hoping people get the message after watching this that, you know, 100 years from now, it'd be great to think our future generations could take a stroll down the beach on sand, not ankle deep in sludge from zinc
right.
and titanium sunscreens.
Yes, and it's been, you know, lathered over some big fat guy in a Speedo. So, you know, it just isn't a pleasant sight or image anybody would want to have in their mind. All right, well, Dan, hold the line. I want to talk a little bit more about this because, you know, not only has he put this video out there about the effects of that zinc and all those other kind of products that they don't have in ReefSafe, he's had to defend himself on some of these claims as well. We'll get to that next.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Before you jet off to your next exotic dive destination, brush up on your scuba skills with Paddy Reactivate. The all-new Reactivate program is designed to update divers on the fundamental scuba skills and dive principles, giving you the skills you need to jump back in and dive with confidence. Show off your new Paddy replacement certification card and your refreshed skills on your trip when you reactivate. Contact your local Paddy Dive Center, resort, or instructor and get started today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hey,
this is Tim from the Turk and Caicos Explorer 2.
You're pretty on the most girls I've shagged.
Until you have a chance to come and dive with me in the Turk and Caicos.
Mental, that one. I'm telling you.
Keep listening to Scuba Radio, world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Finally, something for the radio audience.
I fancy it.
Yes, and we do too. We're going to be broadcasting from the deck of the Turks and Caicos Explorer liveaboard. And you'll hear all about it next Saturday. So make sure you join us for that. It's going to be a big time ahead by all, at least by us. And you'll hear us talk about it and rub it into you back at home. But maybe you can join us on the next one. You know, we're all about sharing the love of diving. And obviously, one of those things, when you become a diver, you want to protect the environment that we love to go visit underwater. And sunscreen is a major issue when it comes to that. And our buddies at ReefSafe have developed a product that actually biodegrades in the water column. You may not have thought of sunscreen being an issue for the reefs, but it has been. And Dan from ReefSafe is with us right now to help explain and talk about this video that we've just posted at Dive News. You can use at scubaradio.com. Dan, so what is the deal? I mean, is this something that we just discovered over the last few years, and then you developed this product that, you know, you wanted to basically solve that problem, or what?
Well, going back to 1995 is when I started the R&D, because I was on a dive trip in the Keys and noticed the oil slick coming off the people I was with when they jumped in.
Yeah.
And, you know, about the same time, you're starting to see some bleaching effects on the corals, and put two and two together and came back to the factory and started doing R&D, which took about 13 years. And then we sent it out to ecology labs to have it tested for biodegradability, and it was non-toxic to sea life as well as the microorganisms in the seawater.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how ReefSafe got started. And from there, we've just been attacked by people over the last few years. So the attacks didn't really start until recently because, you know, everybody wants to get on the green bandwagon.
And right. And you know, I think that's one of the arguments that I heard when we first started hearing about this issue a few years ago. Yeah, you've been working on this a long time, but a lot of people thought, oh, it's just another marketing gimmick, you know, and there's no sunscreen that's technically safe for the reef, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wait a minute. I talked to Dan. You know, we've been talking for the last 3 or 4 years now. And he started telling me about all this research he had done in the past. And, you know, honestly, at the time, in the beginning, I wasn't real familiar with the issue overall, but obviously you had done your homework, and when I dug into it, you presented me with all this data that you had gathered over the years. I mean, it was impressive. This wasn't just a pure marketing gimmick, which is what I think we're seeing from some of your competitors that have kind of jumped on this whole environmental bandwagon when it comes to sunscreen, and in the process, you know, they're trying to sell more bottles of their stuff, but they're also throwing stones at you, claiming that you're not as reef safe as you claim to be. But pretty much this video addresses that issue right up front so your eyes can see for yourself. Am I right, Dan?
Exactly, Greg. And I'm sure that these people haven't put the type of monies into the ecology testing from independent labs that ReefSafe has over the years. So with our latest barrage of testing we're doing, we will be over $300,000 in independent laboratory testing that we have paid out of pocket over the last 8 years. So yeah, that's significant. And these people really are misinformed. I mean, this so-called white paper is laced with errors and protocols, misinformation, and basically it's all around junk science. It's been denounced by major scientists in our industry, and it's really frustrating to have people spin doctor the negatives of the organic sunscreens that we use in lieu of the zinc and titanium, claiming they're all natural.
Dan is a diver. That's when he started the R&D for this and got the idea of like, hey, we need to do some kind of biodegradable sunscreen. This isn't some big marketing conglomerate. Dan has his stuff together, but it's not like some major, you know, name brand corporation that is trying to sell bottles of sunscreen and make a buck. I mean, he has to make a buck, and as he should, but obviously it's coming from a real place and a place that he wants to protect the environment. environment, and he's done his homework. I mean, once again, if you go back and watch the video and then even dig into some of the links that we have posted in there at Dive News you can use, you can see all the background yourself and educate yourself accordingly. And you might start to pick up why some of his competitors are coming after him like that. So it's good work what you're doing, Dan. I really do. You know, personally, I think it's a great idea. For you. I am a walking testimonial for sunscreen. Let's be real. I've had plenty of visits to the dermatologist, and if you'd look at me, some people would go, "Really? You want to go out and dive in the dead of the, you know, summer in the sun like that? You're going to die." You know, I mean, well, yeah, I got to lather up pretty good to protect myself. You know, I want to use stuff that obviously isn't going to hurt what I'm going out there to see. And you've foot the bill in that with the ReefSafe products. So, but I know it's annoying, but it's a constant battle. And it's just something that kind of goes with the territory, I guess, though, right?
Well, and we're working on educating the consumers, the divers, everybody that's out in the sun and in our water environments, what they should be using is ReefSafe.
That's right.
We've did the testing 10 times over. We just passed EPA Region 4 toxicity testing. So we are continually subjecting ReefSafe to new testing that is to global standards, not just, you know, gee, we threw it in the bathtub and it didn't kill the goldfish or something like that. We're doing it in reality conditions.
Yeah. You know, there's gimmicks and then there's reality and research. And the heart of what they're trying to accomplish there is at the base of ReefSafe. Now, you can go to tropicalseas.com as the website for all ReefSafe products. Or you can keep looking for Dive News You Can Use, which we're going to post a few more articles from the R&D elements that Dan's been working with over the next few months. And once again, the first one is posted right now under the Dive Blog section at scubaradio.com under Dive News You Can Use. Dan, thank you so much. Keep up the great work, and I'll be lathered up next week in the Turks and Caicos representing your product accordingly, okay?
Safe journeys.
More coming up in hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.